Welcome to On the Money, where you can find out anything and everything to do with finance, business, and the economy. On the Money is broadcast live from the studios of Radio 2SER and nationwide on the Community Radio Network. On Tuesday, On the Money producers Roderick Chambers and Vincent Tsu went to Canberra to report on the 2017 budget, including two stories that we have for you tonight. Stick around.
The benchmark shouldn't be the fact that the 2014 budget was such a dog, such a stinker, and the government's decided to undo some of the damage from that budget.
On tonight's show, we talk to Matt Thistlethwaite about Tuesday's budget and find out what was cut and who the losers were. And later on in the show, Vincent Tsu speaks with Cassandra Goldie from ACOS. On Tuesday, Roderick Chambers, our producer, asked Matt Thistlethwaite whether Scott Morrison's budget was really a bit like a Labour budget.
Not really, Rod. It's a budget designed to save Malcolm Turnbull's bacon, really. It's a budget that delivers big tax cuts for millionaires and multinational corporations. But if you're a family, a pensioner, or a student, it certainly makes you worse off and makes life a lot harder. So, in that respect, there are many elements of a traditional Liberal budget, and it's designed to save Malcolm Turnbull's bacon and make life harder for many working Australians.
But it's not like an austerity budget like we've had some of the ones in the past, and there's quite a lot of spending on infrastructure, you know, $74 billion on infrastructure. That's more of a, in the Labor Party side of things, isn't it, where you do a bit more work with building the country?
Well, the austerity measures that have been introduced by the previous governments haven't worked, and they haven't been able to get them through the parliament. And that's credit to the Labor Party and Australians more generally who've opposed these measures. The only options left for the government really were to look at infrastructure investment if you're going to grow the economy. But a lot of this infrastructure investment is smoke and mirrors. A lot of it's contingent on the private sector being involved. They've taken away responsibility from Infrastructure Australia in suggesting many of these projects and moved it into the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet. So all is not as it seems when it comes to infrastructure in this budget.
But don't you think Malcolm Turnbull will push those along then? I mean, there is real money put up for Western Sydney Airport, you know, the $5.3 billion. There's real money for the rail link Brisbane to Melbourne and, of course, the Snowy Scheme, which is a pet project of the Prime Minister. They'll go ahead, won't they?
Well, the Snowy Scheme at this stage is just a feasibility study. There's nothing more in the budget in respect of a better energy policy, and they haven't mentioned climate change at all in this budget. And we support Western Sydney Airport being built and delivered as long as it's connected by a viable and a workable rail line that links Parramatta and Sydney to the airport. And the inner rail line, well, you know, whether or not that stacks up is yet to be seen. It's got a one-to-one cost-benefit ratio, and that's something that Labor will debate in the caucus.
But you're sort of feeling that it may actually be a good thing for regional areas?
Any infrastructure development that produces better productivity outcomes for the country certainly has Labor's support.
And the measures for the banks, are you happy with that, or do you still want to push for a Royal Commission?
We still believe a Royal Commission is the best way to shine a light on what's been going on in the banking industry and financial services in Australia. Nothing that the government has announced will deliver justice for victims and give them the opportunity to have their say. So we're still sticking to a Royal Commission. We support the levy that's being proposed, but there's a real question mark about the banks passing that on to customers. And I think you'd have to say that given the way the banks have acted in the past, the Big Four, that customers will ultimately bear the cost of this levy.
Actually, one thing we were talking about in the lockup was the banks that are involved in this levy are the big five. Is that the Macquarie Bank?
Yeah, Macquarie Bank's included. So it's the big four plus plus Macquarie. They've been the most profitable banks, not only in Australia, but throughout the world. So there is potential for them to pay this levy. But the question will be whether or not they pass it on to customers.
But there's also significant penalties for officers, bank officers, you know, managers and so forth. And that's going to be policed by a beefed up ACCC and beefed up APRA and so forth. Do you support those measures?
Well, if you look at the APRA measures, there's only 1 year worth of funding to undertake these new regulatory approaches. So the question will be for the government, how do you fund those into the future? We've seen in the past, this government actually cut funding for ASIC, and then we had all of the bank scandals unravel, and they were forced to put money back into ASIC for extra enforcement. And they've been opposing a royal commission that overwhelmingly Australian population wants. So I don't have any confidence that they're going to improve the integrity or get better customer outcomes in the Australian banking industry.
One thing that Scott Morrison said in the press conference that we had during the lockup was one thing that he really wanted out of this was a bipartisan support on the funding for the NDIS. What's the current thinking for the ALP at the moment?
Well, certainly Labor supports a strong and well-funded National Disability Insurance Scheme. We set the thing up. It's a Labor policy. And when we did so, we made sure that it was fully funded in the budget. And we don't accept the government's view that this isn't funded in the budget and they're crying poor on properly funding the NDIS. We made sure through a number of budget savings measures in 2013 when it was established that it would be fully funded. So we don't accept the government's view that it's not fully funded. In respect of the increase in the Medicare levy, we want to see the details, so we'll work through that as a caucus and we'll make a decision on that in the coming weeks.
But it may be that this way of funding it, and if it is a genuine way, it's something that perhaps you could support.
Well, Labor increased the Medicare levy in the past to ensure that there was funding there for the NDIS. So that's an approach that we've done in the past. But as I said, we made sure that when we did that, we made other savings measures that fully funded the NDIS, and we don't accept the government's view that it's not fully funded, and that's something that we really need to do, get a briefing from the government on and sit down with them and work out the details of how this levy is going to work and whether or not we'll support it.
Well, just moving on to housing, there's been a number of measures. Scott Morrison said this isn't a silver bullet for affordable housing, but there are some measures in there, things about foreign ownership, the amount of, I guess, housing stock which is left empty at times, all those sorts of things. And then there's the incentives for first home buyers and people downsizing. Do you think some of those are going to help with affordable housing?
Well, in the community that I represent, housing affordability is more topical than the weather. It's the barbecue stopper. It's the issue that's affecting everyone's livelihoods and incomes at the moment, and the reason why we've got such high levels of household debt, and that's affecting spending in our economy. So we do need to do something about housing affordability. Now, Labor's view is very clear. If you're not tackling negative gearing and the capital gains tax discount, then you're not fair dinkum about housing affordability. And this budget last night does nothing to deal with those two major imposts on housing affordability in this country.
But would you be happy to let some of those measures go through then?
We'll look at some of the details on them. And the superannuation measures, we believe that superannuation is predominantly there to ensure that people have adequate retirement incomes. And that's why Labor established the superannuation system in Australia.
Hedge your bets and stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
I'm Jason Lecuyer, and you're listening to On the Money, broadcasting across Australia on the Community Broadcasting Network. We're listening to reactions of Labor's Shadow Assistant Treasurer, Matt Thistlethwaite, speaking with producer Roderick Chambers in Parliament House in Canberra.
And looking at Social Security, what do you think of these measures for drug testing? Is this even feasible?
Again, it's another issue that we will ask for some details about how it will be implemented. I don't want to see anyone taking illicit drugs in our society, but I know that dealing with many people who have been affected by drugs, it's never black and white. It's never a simple issue. I've dealt with constituents who, young women who've been the subject of very violent sexual assaults, who've turned to drugs in the past because they simply want to escape the pain of what they've gone through. So these issues are never, ever black and white. They're never simple. This is a very punitive measure, and it will take a bit of time for Labor to discuss this with stakeholders before we make a decision on it.
Yeah, because we were just discussing in the lockup, if you had a car accident and you'd perhaps been to a party and somehow you had a bit of something in your blood, you're in intensive care or whatever, and so suddenly everything gets cut off. I mean, where are you left? Who looks after you?
Yeah, you want to make sure that you're not putting very vulnerable people who are in very difficult situations, making those situations worse for them and ultimately tipping them over the edge.
There's been some changes again that affect, I think it's family tax benefit A. How do you think overall this budget is going to affect families?
I think families are going to be worse off. If you're a millionaire, you get about a $16,000 tax cut, but if you're a family on $65,000 a year, you'll pay $325 additional dollars in tax. Now that, in our view, is unfair. For pensioners, they lose the energy supplement, which makes life a lot more difficult for them, particularly in the context of rising gas and electricity prices.
But they're getting a one-off payment too, aren't they?
Yeah, they're getting a one-off payment of $75, but that doesn't offset the fact that they're losing close to $300 in the annual value of that energy supplement. So they're clearly worse off.
Before you go on, the figures you gave me before, the millionaires, why are they getting extra $16,000? Where's that coming from?
They get a tax cut, you see, because of the removal of the deficit levy on high income earners. Anyone on $180,000 a year gets a tax cut because deficit levy is removed. So the higher your income, the bigger the tax cut, and that's not fair in the current situation.
And the $300 for normal wage earners, where's that? Is that the Medicare levy?
That comes through the Medicare levy and changes to family payments as well.
I just was remembering from the infrastructure papers, there was a lot for roads, rail, of course, Badgers Creek Airport. I didn't see anything for ports, seaports. Is there something we need to be doing there?
Yeah, you've raised a very important issue that does affect the productivity of the nation. We're seeing a massively increasing middle class in Asia on our back door who are hungry for not only natural resources but agricultural products and over time services. And we're going to need to improve our infrastructure around airports, ports and rail if we're going to meet that demand into the future. And China has a policy now of actively working with other nations through their One Belt and Road initiative. They're actively seeking to partner with businesses and government in Australia. The government has the Northern Australia Fund, but they won't make a decision about whether or not they'll look at investment from other nations in some of this infrastructure. And that's something that Labor thinks that the government should be actively considering, particularly in this time of an Asian century where you're going to have a massively expanding middle class.
Yeah, because we didn't hear anything about the Northern Australia strategies that we've had in previous budgets.
Yeah, all we've seen in respect of the Northern Australia Fund is an announcement that they're considering building a coal-fired power station in the north of Queensland. Now, in this day and age, for government to be investing in coal-fired power station, what's going to quickly become an outdated technology, is a bad investment. Unfortunately, in yesterday's budget, a big omission was their approach to climate change. Nothing at all was said in the Treasurer's speech or in any of the details of the budget papers about this government's support for action on climate change. And energy prices are a big issue for Australian households and businesses at the moment. And unless you're serious about an emissions intensity scheme and a move to boosting renewable energy, you're not going to get those energy prices down over time. That's a big emission from this budget.
I mean, the actual electricity generation method of putting a price on carbon scheme isn't really working all that well at the moment. What needs to be done with that?
This is the government's scheme where they pay big polluters in the hope that they'll reduce their emissions. And it's not working at all. In fact, it's going to run out of money in future years. And they're funding projects that were already being developed by business anyway in the wake of Labor's price on carbon. If you're going to be serious about reducing emissions, you need an economy-wide mechanism to do that. And you need an emissions trading scheme so that over time, the cap on carbon emissions reduces and consumers and businesses can make their own decisions about how they reduce their emissions.
And just finally, one of the other spending measures was in the, for regional Australia was the new fund that was set up. I've forgotten the name of it, but it was, I think, $5.3 billion initiative, which was kind of like a rural bank, with farmers being able to access it if there was some climate events or whether there was other pressures that needed them to invest to move or to another type of farming, I guess, is what I could understand from it. And also build dams. I think dams was part of it. How do you think that's going to work?
Well, they've had these schemes in the past and they haven't worked. They haven't built any new dams throughout the country. And if you're talking about providing incentives for farmers and people who work on the land to reduce carbon emissions and to change some of their practices, Labor had policies in place to deal with that in the Clean Energy Finance Corporation and the Australian Renewable Energy Agency. The Turnbull and Abbott governments have defunded those programs, tried to shut them down. It's only Labor's action that managed to save ARENA and boost its funding recently that's seen some of those projects survive. So there are incentives that do exist, but the government's record on these sort of things has been very patchy, and there's been a lack of investment and actual solid outcomes for the country.
So to sum up, what do you think are the big things that the government should be changing now?
Well, firstly, you need to invest in education. If we're going to grow our economy into the future, we need to make sure that we're producing a smart, productive, efficient workforce, and we're not doing that at the moment. By cutting school funding by $22 billion, you're making it harder for our kids to get a decent education. By increasing university fees, you're making it harder for certain kids to go to university. They're defunding universities by cutting billions of dollars from their mandates. And at the same time, they're making it harder for people to get a tertiary education in the form of an apprenticeship or some form of traineeship by defunding TAFE and deregulating the system. So that's the key, ensuring that we're investing in education, taking real action on climate change to ensure that we modernise our economy as the rest of the world transitions from dirty polluting fuels to clean energy. There's nothing in this budget for that. And having a workable healthcare system. So ensuring that doctors aren't forced to charge co-payments for Medicare services, properly funding hospitals so that people have the patient care that they deserve when they get sick. They're the three fundamentals that Labor would change if we were in government, that would grow our economy, would create jobs, and ensure that we're taking action on climate change and keep us all healthy.
Matt Thistlethwaite, thanks very much for being on the program here at 2SER and the Community Radio Network.
Roderick Chambers there, ending that interview with Shadow Assistant Treasurer Matt Thistlethwaite after the budget in Canberra. You're listening to On the Money, where we discuss everything to do with money, finance and business. We're broadcasting around Australia on the Community Radio Network from the studios of Radio 2SER in Sydney. I'm Jason Lequier. Last Tuesday's budget was all about big infrastructure spending, including a new inland rail and the Snowy Hydro 2.0, as well as energy security to secure domestic gas. But in between all of this, there have still been losers in the budget. Vincent Su has a closer look at who lost.
The federal budget has been sold to Australians as one that provides fairness and opportunity, with various Labor policies being introduced, resulting in some to call it Labor-like. It increased funding to education with what's been called Gonski 2.0 and introduces a levy for the Big Four banks and Macquarie Bank. But not everyone is satisfied with the budget. One of the more controversial changes is the introduction of drug testing for welfare recipients and driver licence-style demerit points for welfare. Cassandra Goldie, CEO of the Australian Council of Social Services, ACOS, said that despite the repeal of the 2014-15 zombie measures, the budget still has crosshairs aimed at the most vulnerable.
We've got a government that has forged ahead with demonising people on the lowest incomes, people who are some of the most disadvantaged in the country. In this budget tonight, we've got the government saying it plans to trial drug testing if you're on social security. We've got a demerit system now for people who are really struggling trying to meet their obligations on social security. We are deeply disappointed. The government has pursued this line that the problem is Social Security is that people are not doing the right thing. The overwhelming majority of people in Australia on Social Security, they are impoverished. They're living on $38 a day if you're a single person. There is nothing in this budget to improve the living standards of people who have absolutely the least in Australia. We've got the government forging ahead with this idea that we will target people on Social Security, people who are unemployed, to create this notion that if you're on Social Security, it's your fault and we're going to look to get harsher and harsher on you.
Despite this, Goldie has welcomed changes to some aspects of the budget.
We do see there's a change in direction here on things like education, like health, an important recognition that we've got a revenue problem in this country.
In particular, Goldie has welcomed the changes to the government's housing policy, which included the introduction of a new savings account taxed at a lower rate and efforts to boost supply.
In the detail of that package, it's not where we want it to be, and there's nothing in it for low-income renters. We're really disappointed about that. But on the upside, we certainly have the basic bones of us getting the federal government on the road on housing affordability, importantly to encourage private investors into affordable housing in Australia.
John Falzon, CEO of the St Vincent de Paul Society, however, attacked the changes, saying that they would not help bring about housing security.
Without changes to negative gearing and capital gains tax discounts, housing will remain a speculative sport instead of a human right.
Falzon also said that the government's idea of better days around the corner was only reality for corporations who are seeing profits surge while inequality is at record highs.
Inequality is now at its highest point since the 1950s. Tonight's budget boosts inequality instead of building a better future. Corporate tax cuts at the same time as penalty rate cuts will not help young people into jobs. The wealth is not trickling down, unless, of course, you have wealthy parents.
Senator Richard Di Natale also attacked the new drug tests, saying that they were an attack on personal liberties that also shifted the blame of being unemployed to individuals.
Just think about that. What an incredible violation of the individual liberties of that person, that the state thinks it's okay, that it can drag them off the street, do compulsory drug testing so that they can get a payment when there are more people than jobs in the Australian community. It's not a young person's fault that unemployment is where it is. And somehow, this government thinks it's okay to do compulsory drug testing. This is a very, very dangerous precedent.
The Greens leader also said that the budget screwed over young Australians on many fronts.
This is a budget that well and truly screws over young people. It screws them over on housing, on higher education, and on climate change. On housing, the government squibbed it. They've avoided tackling the issues that we know are causing a huge problem when it comes to housing affordability, negative gearing and capital gains tax reform. When it comes to higher ed, it's uni students who are carrying the can for some of the toughest cuts in this budget. And of course on climate, the government's decided that it's going to throw another $60 million so that we can frack our farmland for more gas.
He added that a good budget should not be defined by the 2014-15 budget.
The benchmark shouldn't be the fact that the 2014 budget was such a dog, such a stinker, and the government's decided to undo some of the damage from that budget. The benchmark needs to be, where does this country need to go so that we can take ourselves out of an old 20th century economy into a modern 21st century society that looks after the environment and the community?
Richard Di Natale, Greens leader there, ending that report by Vincent Hsu. And that's all we have for you this evening on The Money. We hope you'll tune in again next week to find out everything you need to know about money, finance and business. Special hellos go out to 2Bob Radio in Taree, 4CCR in Cairns and Huon FM in Tassie. It's great to have you with us. Thanks to producer Vincent Hsu and executive producer Roderick Chambers for tonight's show, and to the 2SER budget crew who spent the entire day in lockup on Tuesday to give you the details of this year's budget. On the Money is produced live in the studios of Radio 2SER and for the Community Radio Network. You can find all of our shows and stories at 2ser.com/onthemoney. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Put it on your friend's app as well. Follow us on Twitter, or look for us on Twitter at OnTheMoney2SER, and find us on Facebook. I'm Jason Lequier. We'll be back again next week to give you the inside running of all things financial. Thanks for joining us.
UTS is number one again. Ranked as Australia's number one young university for the third year in a row. Our students agree.
UTS is such a young and energetic university. It's encouraged me to consider new paths to be ready for my industry. I think UTS has a creative and entrepreneurial approach to learning that other unis don't have, and this will make such a difference to my future study and career.
Join us for a course info evening. To learn more, go online and search UTS Course Info Night. UTS, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
Being injured in an accident can have a real impact on you financially. Injuries can mean time off work, medical bills and other expenses. But you might actually be entitled to compensation to cover these expenses. If you're unsure, call a specialist injury lawyer and ask. Law Partners is Australia's largest specialist personal injury firm, and it costs nothing to call their local office to get some advice. Call Law Partners on 133 529. Or visit lawpartners.com.au.
2SER sponsors.
Sydney Film Festival is now on sale. There's over 350 screenings of 288 films from 62 countries over 12 days in 10 venues. From the magnificent State Theatre in the city to the Ritz Cinema in Randwick, there's bound to be a film and a venue just right for you. It all happens from June 7 to 18. You can buy your flexi passes or single tickets right now at sff.org.au. Sydney Film Festival, proudly sponsoring 2SER
107.3. 2SER's a bit like your mum. We're on Facebook. But instead of awkwardly commenting on your status updates, we're keeping you up to date with everything that's going on here at the station. We like you. We really like you. So complete the circle of like at facebook.com/2SERFM. Stories, ideas, music. 2SER 107.3.
Stories, ideas, music. 2SER 107.3.